All these men who've been up here singing have been my associate. They all started with me. Brother Jack started with me, and he went out into singing evangelism. And then I got Brother Blunkall, and he went out into singing evangelism. And then I got Brother Drummond, and he went out in singing and evangelism. And now I got Brother Dodsworth, he can't sing a lick.
Well, he got smart, brother, isn't he?
He can't hardly talk. He's from Canada, and he says Gradge. Open the Gradge door. If it didn't say door, you wouldn't know what they was talking about. But they've all, Brother Jack was there with us when we built our school, and he helped us build our school. And Brother Drummond principled and operated the school for 13 years, and now Brother Dodsworth's in our school. So Brother Buddy helped us in our school. He worked in our school. And so we've had a privilege to have some part in these young men's lives. I thank God for them, and God's used them. You know, God can, you can help somebody, and they'll end up doing more and better than you do. Isn't that good? I'm going to open my Bible because y'all like that. I'm not going to read anything out of it. I write these little books, and I put all the scripture in the book, because you're not going to look it up. If I put a number there, you're not going to turn and look it up. So I put all the scripture in the book, and I may read some of this. Before I begin to do this, let me just tell you, I cannot. Things are just too close to our heart and too close to our home, really, for me to say a whole lot more than I'm going to say in this message about our experience with this subject. But you need to listen. You preachers need to listen. And I pray that you would. I want to preach a message now entitled, Pornography is Fornication. And I want to preach a message on pornography. Pornography is fornication. And I have a text in the book of Numbers in chapter 33, verse 52, that I want to use to introduce this subject of pornography is fornication. This is a great opportunity for me. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate this church and the pastor of this church for being my friend. Yes. And I've got friends all over this auditorium that God's put us together in meetings and places, and I thank God for you. All right. Brother Drummond, you pray, will you, while you stand and pray.
Father, in Jesus' name, we're indeed thankful for the opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. Lord, we do want to pray for Brother Jones as he preaches this message to us, that Father, it just won't go in our ears, and God, it'll go to our hearts. Father, we'll listen and we'll pay attention. Father, I pray that any evil spirit, Lord, that might hang around this place, God, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ against every imp of hell, that Father, there might not be any distraction, but God, we might hear from you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard. Now, God, give us ears to hear tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
In Numbers chapter 33, verse 52, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down their high places. As the people of Israel entered into the land of Israel, the Canaan land, where they're going to occupy and that's going to be their home, God has instructed them to destroy the pictures that they found. To get ready for this message, I didn't buy or rent or borrow or view any pornographic material. So don't go away from here and say, well, Brother Jones done looked at all the pornography they got in the shop in order to know what it is. I really didn't do that. When I was in Bible college, it was a kind of a funny time when I was in Bible college. It was right after the Korean War. And we had 1,500 students in our Bible college, and about half of us were adults. I mean, we were grown men. And I see Brother Osteen there. I think he's older than I am. But he and I and one other fella was the oldest folks in the class. And somehow or another, I guess out of respect for age, they asked me to be the chaplain of that class. And I got to know some of the men that way. I had a little job in a big department store, and I was sitting at the lunch counter eating my supper when one of my classmates walked in, and he went right to the book rack, right to the magazine rack, right to the dirty book section, and he got down a little dirty magazine. He began to go over that magazine, and as he did that, I just bored my eyeballs into the back of his neck. And I don't know how that transmits to anybody, and they know somebody's staring at them, but you know, somebody just really bearing down on the back of your neck, you feel it. And he began to fidget, and he looked around, and he saw me there, and he said, well, Brother Jones, he said, I was just doing some research for a paper I'm writing for theology class. And I didn't really do any of that kind of research. I tried to confine myself to professional material. And there is a lot of it out there. The main thing that I read and where I found most of the information is the final report of the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. And that was done under the Reagan administration in 1986. Now, Carter had commissioned one, and they did it, and they approved pornography. As a matter of fact, out of the Commission on Pornography under Mr. Carter, they did not condemn child pornography. Child pornography was still legal when this report was written. James Dobson was on this commission, and he and some of the other people put pressure on the government, and it wasn't until 1986 that our government actually made child pornography illegal. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But there's some other things that are hard to believe. And so I confined myself to this, and I studied the most professional and the best prepared material that I could find in our library. But there's no way that you can read anything about pornography without getting dirty.
Right. Come on.
It is just too filthy a subject. You're going to have to read some words and phrases and things that are going to soil your mind. And I'll do my best tonight not to soil you by delivering this message. I don't want to soil anybody here by delivering this message, but I will have to say some things that will be fairly explicit. I hope you'll give me latitude to do that in order to deal with this subject. The standard definition of pornography is written and graphic material that is produced to induce some erotic, sensual, sexual response from the reader or viewer. In other words, pornography is graphic and written material that's produced to produce some kind of sexual response in the person that looks at it. That definition is no longer valid for modern pornography. Modern pornography is the most immoral, filthy, degraded, lascivious, bestial act the warped mind could conceive. It is filth and violence beyond any decent description. The purpose of this message is not to get you to go out and march against pornography. That might be a good thing to do. However, somebody in your church who's reading pornography and who is using pornography will go out and march with you against pornography. It's not my job to get you to march against pornography. There are things that you can do. My wife mentioned to one of our local grocers that put some pornography in that she wouldn't buy anything there if they kept that pornography on the shelf and they took it off. So there are things that you can do. The purpose of this message is to raise your consciousness to get you to take a stand against pornography in your home. Amen. and in your church and in your school. It's to get you to take a stand in your pulpit against pornography. It's to get you to take a stand, amen, against your television and its pornography. That's the purpose of this method. It'd be one thing for us to go out and march and carry banners, amen. That's not hard to do. It's another thing, amen, to cancel your cable television subscription. That's an altogether different thing to do, and that's what I'm after. Over the years of my ministry, my wife and I, because of the ministry that we have, the Family Institute, in our preaching, we present certain themes about marriage and the bed and all of these things. And in doing that, we find that we're counseling numbers of young women who have serious psychological and emotional problems that come from being molested in their youth. And we've dealt with that over the years. Numbers of times, as a matter of fact, we'll hardly ever preach a meeting where that doesn't come up, two or three times.
Come on.
But we never tried to go back into the life of those people and root out whatever source this molestation came from. We always tried to take these young ladies from where they were onto the cross and beyond. And that's how we have tried to handle it. Up until last year, I had dealt with only three men who had come to me and confessed that they were molesting their children. Two of them wanted to stop. The other was as wicked and reprobate a man as I've ever met. And he was a hardcore pornography user. Two of these men could clearly describe to me how they got involved with molesting their children. This third man, his problem was that he was a hardcore pornographer. One time I had to confront a boy in my school. Brother Drummond and I confronted this boy who was involved in some illicit or deviant sex activity. He came from a good home. His mother and daddy are faithful in church. They're faithful in church to this day. They're good people. They're clean people. And here I've got their boy, and he's involved in deviant sex. And we began to trace this thing back, and we found out that what happened was, is the preacher's son at the Christian school he was going to before he came to ours introduced him to pornography. His daddy would send him on errands, and they would go out together, and when they went out together, he had the pornography in his car, and they'd look at it, and the end result was that this boy became sexually deviant. And we were able to handle that, and with the help of the parents, and the boy was young enough, and he did get over that in time. Last year, we had three cases of men who were actively involved in molesting either their children or somebody else's children. All three of these men were either preachers or preachers' children. The preacher's sons so grossly molested his children that I believe it almost killed his mother-in-law and his father-in-law. It just came with an ace of killing the grandparents. This boy is serving 7 years in the penitentiary. The preacher that molested his little neighbor children, he's serving 10 years in the penitentiary. The other boy, the mother fled to another state, and he was never filed on, and so he's never been charged. So all of these people were active in the pulpit, either in song leading or preaching. They were regular Sunday morning, Sunday night church members. They grossly molested either their own children or somebody else's children. As we trace this thing back, we found out that they are all pornography users. In our circles, we had a preacher who is pastoring a church, a good church, a sound church, a sacrificially giving church. After all the dirt was dug out about that thing, he had a harem in that church. They used video pornography to enhance that and support that. That's a preacher. And so I say this, that which is flesh is flesh.
Yeah.
Preaching flesh is preaching flesh.
Yeah. Yeah.
This pastor was respected. He was an effective preacher. He built a good work. It gave thousands upon thousands of dollars of money to missions. He had a special message out of the book of Ruth that he preached. I was in three separate meetings in different times that I've heard him preach this book. And this book, this message out of the book of Ruth, dealt with the flesh and the spirit. Mordecai being the type of the spiritual man, and Haman being the type of the flesh. And when Haman ruled, the country was in trouble. When Mordecai ruled, there was blessing. And it was a good message, and God used this message. But despite this man being able to know and identify the things of the flesh, still was indulging his flesh. Salvation, biblical information, and spiritual gifts will not make you exempt from the sins of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest. They're these: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness. The first four sins of the flesh are sexual sins. Christians who indulge in pornography will end up in some kind of physical sin and disgrace.
You're right.
If you fool around with it, you're going to end up. I wished that it would be possible tonight for me to tell you what we were doing in the basement of our church last night. You'll end up standing before a group of men in your church confessing that you're a whoremonger, or you're a pornographer, or you've molested your children.
Come on.
Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? What's the answer?
No.
No. What's the answer?
No.
What's the answer?
No.
No. Here is something unusual. A person that is using pornography does not have to use it continually to be a threat and a danger to himself and others. My father was a drunk for 20 years before he became what people called a drunk. He was raised by a Baptist preacher in a very religious home and probably had some real guilt about his drinking problem. And so he would first go 6 months, and then before he went on a binge for a week or two. Then the binges got just closer and closer together, but he was an alcoholic for 20 years. And he wouldn't be drunk more than two or three or four times a year. The same thing with these religious pornographers. They'll go on binges of it. They'll feel guilty about it, and they'll pull back for a while. Amen. But no work of God is done. Amen. They haven't taken theirself to the cross. Amen. They haven't crucified the flesh with the lust thereof. They haven't counted themselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. And they'll be drawn back like a magnet. And every time they go back, it'll get worse, and they'll get deeper involved, and they begin to live with all of that guilt. If you're married to one of these birds, there's two things you can know for sure about him. Number one, He'll be gone for different periods of time and won't be able or refuse to account for it.
Come on, preacher.
And it costs money. There are men in our churches who are serious pornography abusers. They need to either be warned or exposed. And one way to warn them and one way to expose it, one way to rip the cover off of pornography is to preach against it. Pornography is fornication. Let me give you this. I get kind of peeved at guys who want to maintain some little pet doctrine, and so they get a dime or a 25-cent dictionary, and they'll show you that pornography is sex before marriage out of a 25-cent dictionary. But if you spent more than 25-cent, fornication, they'll say is sex before marriage out of their 25-cent paperback dictionary. But if you'll go a little deeper and you'll invest more than $1 in a dictionary, you'll find out that adultery and incest, with their appropriate verses, will be quoted as fornication. In the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, he lists adultery and incest as appropriate definitions for fornication.
Come on.
I need to read this. Pardon me while I read this. Strong's Concordance of the Bible gives porno, pornos, as the New Testament words for fornication and fornicator. This is Strong's definition of fornicator. Pornos, a male prostitute, as by venial, or for hire, i.e., by anal, a debauchee, a libertine, a fornicator, a whoremonger. Fornication is all kinds of illicit and illegal sex. It is not just simply sex between unmarried people. Adultery is a specific word. Fornication is a greater word. The definition of pornography. It comes from two words. I know this is hard to listen to this kind of preaching. People up here giving definitions. But it's part of the thing to finally get to this. In other words, I've had to handle this in my ministry. How do I handle fornication? How do I handle pornography? What sin is pornography? How do you identify the sin that pornography is so you can deal with it?
Come on.
So these things are necessary. Here is the definition of fornication. The definition of fornication, pornos, is the root word for pornography. Pornography is the writing of harlots. Porn means harlot. Graphon means to write. Pornography is the writing of harlots. When we say the word pornography, we're saying the words, the writing of harlots. Now listen to this. Please listen. If it were possible for me tonight to open my heart to you, I could make an illustration to you, but I can't. I'm bound too much to do it. Prostitution is the foundation upon which pornography is built. This is the Attorney General's conclusion. Prostitution is the foundation upon which pornography is built. Pornography cannot exist without prostitution. It is impossible to separate pornography and prostitution. The acts are identical except in pornography there is a permanent record of the woman's abuse. The background of pornography. God said to destroy their pictures. Do you know where the word pornography came from?
Come on.
Some archaeologists went over into Greece and they went over into Italy and they dug up a city called Pompeii. And when they dug that city up, it had been covered by volcanic ash, and so it was preserved almost perfectly. And as they dug through there, they found mosaics on the walls depicting every kind of illicit and sensual and sexual perversion on the walls. And so they carefully removed those mosaics and those paintings and those murals off of those walls, and they brought them in and they put them in a secret museum, because in those days people were not even allowed to see those things. And so they were trying to find a word that they could use to classify this information that they dug up. You won't even find the word pornography in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. And so when they dug this up, and all of this material that they had there, this sexually explicit material, including sex of adults and children, they classified that and they coined the word pornography, the writing of Horlitz. Some guy gave me a book about the origin and the interpretation of obelisk. You know what an obelisk is? An obelisk is a pointy monument. He gave me this book about the origin and the interpretation of obelisk and their phallic nature. I began to dig through that book, and I found in the margin of that book depictions of Canaanite relics that had been dug up by the archaeologists in the land of Cana. And these Canaanites had drinking glasses and mugs and kitchen utensils in the form of the genitals that they used for whatever use. I don't know why anybody would want to drink out of a cup like that. So when we began to think about this, and we began to think about destroy their pictures, we know that the Canaanites were involved in deviant sexual activity. Here it is in the Bible, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter number 18, verse 3. After the doings of the land of Cana where you dwell, ye shall not do after the doings of the land of Cana, whither I bring you, ye shall not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. And here's what it talks about. In Leviticus 18:23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all of these things the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. And you can read on down through there, and the book of Leviticus describes everything: incest, homosexuality, sodomy, and bestiality. The nations of the Canaanites were involved in these things, and God said, I don't want you involved in what they're involved in. We have a Canaanite society today. This is not conclusive proof that the pictures they were destroyed were pornographic, but it comes close, doesn't it? I'm not far off of the track when I say that. God does not want us to tolerate fornication. God does not want us to tolerate pornography. Pornography and fornication are intolerable. Pornography is not new. It's been around a long time. But there's nothing ever that anybody has ever dug up that is like the pornography that they have today. Hardcore pornography is raised up on the rotting corpse of what we call a Judeo-Christian ethic, with all the modern tools of the media to enhance it,
yeah. Go ahead.
And color it. I know why our brother had all these things right about the Antichrist, but amen, pornography is nearly the Antichrist. Modern pornography is crude, filthy, perverted sex. I cannot describe to you what it is. The only way I can describe to you what it is to tell you that what Mapplethorpe exhibited is pornography. What he exhibited is pornographic material. It's the same kind of stuff these people buy and use in these dirty bookstores. Here's what the Attorney General's report said. In all the stores surveyed, magazines, bookstores, depictions of normal sex between one female and one male were in the minority of all. Organized crime runs and rules pornography because organized crime runs and rules prostitution. Women are taken in. Women are taken in off of the street. They are beaten. They are drugged. They are abused. They are used. And then they're hooked on drugs and abused and used some more, then thrown out like so much trash.
Yeah.
Child pornography is a cottage industry. Uncles and dirty old men entice little children to make videos and movies. And then they use those videos and movies to entice more little children. I want you to listen to this. I'd like you to listen to everything I say. I don't know why I keep saying I want you to listen to this, but I would like you to listen to it anyway. This is something that some of you naive ladies don't know. Playboy often pictures cartoons or adult models dressed and posed like children. Judith Rastman took every Playboy printed since 1954, all the penthouses, all the Playboys, and all the hustlers, and this is what she found. Since 1954, there were 6,004 images linking children with sex in these magazines. That's 8.2 times for each issue of Playboy, 6.4 times for each issue of Penthouse, 14.1 times for each issue of Hustler. Did you hear what I said? These are not just men's magazines. These so-called men's magazines either have cartoons that suggest incest or sex with children, or they depict, or the models are dressed like children to depict sex with children. Who uses pornography? 92% of men between the ages of 20 and 40 have read Playboy or Penthouse. 28% have read Hustler. 17% have gone to see an X-rated movie. 65% of child molesters say they use pornography either to enhance or maintain their excitement. Did you hear what I said?
Come on. Right.
Please, is there a political agenda to pornography? Is pornography a tool of the left and the tool of the architects of the New World, is it? In their book, Children at Risk, James Dobson and Gary Bauer, who was President Reagan's domestic affairs advisor, says that it is. He says there is both an economic conspiracy and a political conspiracy to exploit children's innocence. Here is what he says. Pornography and pornographic sex education, movies, books. Listen, what they're telling children and what they're showing children is pornographic material. They are being explicit in what they're showing children. Do they have a motive behind this? You see, the more money our government has poured into Planned Parenthood, the more abortions and the more out of wedlock pregnancies we've had. So is there an economic conspiracy and a political agenda? Yes, there is. Because if you can get young people involved in sex and sexual activity on Friday and Saturday night, they are not going to come to church on Sunday morning. And you will drive a wedge between that child and the parents. And the left is using pornography as a tool to destroy the home, amen, and to destroy and to get our children out of church. You say, you're way off the wall, Brother Jones. I ain't as far off the wall as this guy who served in the Reagan administration and went in there and thought that he would do something about these wicked sins and found he was blocked on every side. James Dobson said when they put him on this panel and he opened his mouth and mentioned abstinence, everything exploded, and he and his the only other two men on that panel that believed in abstinence were driven from it. They want your children. They want to pollute their minds. They want to exploit their bodies, and they want to use pornography and sex as a tool to drive a wedge between the child and the Word of God and the Bible. Once they've successfully soiled a girl and soiled a boy, then they have them as their personal slaves. 75 years ago, they'd have killed them. It is a horrible thing. Pornography and sex abuse. Husbands and boyfriends who use pornography sooner or later will imitate the behavior they see in the pornographic material. They may try to attempt to entice or force their women to participate in the unnatural acts they're seeing. Here's one that I caught. I'm going to read this. This was one of the most startling discoveries. Pornography, not Fifth Avenue or parents or Paris, is the inspiration for many modern designs and fads in women's clothing. According to this article, ripped clothing. Have you seen that? These ripped blue jeans, the blue jeans with holes in them? Ripped clothing. Black or blue makeup. All of this suggests bondage themes found in pornography. The same is true of underwear worn on the outside. It is not hard rock that is influencing pornography. It is pornography that is influencing the fads and fashions of hard rock. Body suits and bathing suits that are cut high on the thigh, for example, came out of the world of porn and were introduced to the fashion world as bunny costumes designed by Hugh Hefner. I wouldn't let any woman in my house wear anything like that that was designed by Hugh Hefner. You see, we're drawn into it, although we don't even realize it. We're drawn into it. Amen. Pornography is a major contributor to sexual perversion and sexual crimes. When the stops were removed in Australia on pornography, sexual crimes went up 160%. When they removed in the United States, sexual crimes went up 139%. 101% in New Zealand. And you'll hear about the wonderful things that are going on in Denmark. What you won't hear about is that rape went up 300%, venereal disease 200%, and abortion 500% when they took out all the stops on pornography in Denmark. In the Cincinnati Inquirer, 11,000 high school students, 54 had sex, 70% of the seniors, and 40% of the ninth graders. Pornography contributes to sexual perversion. I'd like you to think about this. When the army came to take Elijah captive, you remember that, and they surrounded the city of Dothan, and his helper said, "What are we going to do?" And he prayed, and he saw those chariots of fire. The prophet of God smote the army of the Syrians with blindness. And he went out and he took them by the hand and he led them away, meek as a lamb. And he took them to his king in Israel. And the king said, "Shall I smite them?" And he said, "No, feed them and give them back to their master." When this man This saucer, you remember this saucer who was interfering with Paul trying to win this man to God? Amen, you remember that? And what did Paul? Paul said, you're going to be blind for a season, and he struck him with blindness, and that man went and sought somebody to lead him about by the hand. But when those sodomites began to claw at the door, amen, and Lot went out and said, do not so wickedly, brethren, and he was pulled back in, and the angel of the Lord smote those sodomites with blindness. Did they go away? Did they stop? Did they quit? What'd they do? They just kept clawing at the door and clawing at the door. And AIDS or nothing else isn't going to stop this bunch of freaks and sodomites. Amen.
Amen.
It didn't
stop.
Once they become indulgent in that, they're gone. They're given over to a reprobate mind.
That's it, preacher. That's it.
Pornography is fornication. The pornographer and his user are fornicators. It's fornication by intent. The very word pornography means the writing of harlots. It is fornication by association. Pornography and prostitution are the same thing. It is fornication by definition. Pornography is mental sex, and this is what our Lord said. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That does not mean if you see a woman or you glance at a woman. That means to look for what? To lust. You got that? When you take some material and you put it in your video, or you take it in your hands and you look at it for the purpose of eliciting a lustful response, you are a mental fornicator. Now, what does God say we're to do toward fornication? Pornography is fornication. Number one, by intent. It's the writing of harlots. Number two, by association. Pornography and prostitution are the same thing. Amen? Pornography cannot exist without prostitution. Prostitution is the basis for pornography. Pornography is fornication by biblical definition. Number one, we're to abstain from it. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. I'm not supposed to have any pornography in my home, in my car, in my locker at work. I'm not supposed to have any pinned up anywhere in my workplace. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. We are to be dead to pornography. I am not to be caught in a struggle. Every time I pass a magazine rack or a dirty video selling store, I'm not supposed to be caught in a struggle and have to pull myself away. I'm to be dead to it. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. God wants you to put to death the flesh. Jesus died not only for what we did, he died for who we are. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that he that is dead henceforth shall not serve sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Yield not your members as instruments to unrighteousness, but yield your members as instruments to righteousness unto God. Right. Know you not that you are the servants of whom you yield yourselves to obey, or whether sin unto death or righteousness unto life?
Yes. Come on, preacher. That's right. That's what it says.
Break with it. You'll never overcome it, son, until you get saved and you get your life totally committed to Jesus Christ and you take up your cross, amen, and follow him and die upon that cross and die to it.
Amen.
We're to flee from its presence and its temptation, but flee fornication. Users of fornication, users of pornography should be subject to church discipline. Know you not, but now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother if he be a fornicator. I'm not to eat with them. I'm not to go with them. I'm not to walk with them. I'm not to play with them. I'm not to associate with them. If your mother-in-law has HBO and MTV, don't you dare let your little children go over there and spend the night. You're out of your mind! But what would you do if your mother-in-law showed HBO or MTV to your children? I'd slap her in the face! What would you do if your father-in-law got upset somebody? I'd punch him down! Time for you to take a stand against what's raping the minds and innocence of children. God drowned the whole world because the thoughts and what? Intents of what? Their heart was evil continually. If God drowned them, we can take a stand against them. Amen. You're not going to be a member of the Lebanon Baptist Temple and have a TV cable that brings in Fox, HBO, MTV, or any of the other numbers. HIV will come in next!
Hallelujah! God bless! Hallelujah!
Amen! Hallelujah!
Pornography is destructive to the marriage and home. If the husband fools around with pornography, sooner or later he'll be unfaithful to his wife, he'll abuse his wife, and he may, sooner or later, molest his own children. You say, I don't believe I would ever do that. I've sat across the table from preachers and preachers' sons who did it.
Come on.
I had a preacher sitting across from me who did that. And he said, I've lost my wife. I've lost my ministry. I've lost my dignity. I've lost everything that I ever had. He said, Brother Jones, if you can't help me get my wife back and my children back, I think I'll just commit suicide. I'll blow my brains out. I said,
Have it.
You say, that's horrible. I'm going to tell you something. I dealt with that family, and they would be better off if he had blown his brains out. You say, you're cruel, you're harsh. A man who would molest his own children?
Come on!
Let me ask you this. What would God do to him? I ain't no meaner than God.
Come on.
Pornography is to the morals and character what AIDS is to the immune system. You fool with it, and you won't have one. A professor in a college, that's the right setting, hired young men to come in night after night, and he showed them increasingly raunchy and perverted movies. The more they saw, the more their view of women changed, and the more aggressive they became toward women. And he says this, pornography is a form of male entertainment that promotes the victimization of women. That's what he said. And you're laying there in your bed with your husband, and he's going to run some filthy video so your life will be more exciting. If you know how to load his gun, shoot his video. Said, what if I can't do that? Then boil some water and pray about it, and God will tell you where to pour it. Here's something you better hear. Pornography can be as addicting to the system as any drug you've ever taken. Pornography produces feelings and passions and hormones that become habit-forming. You can get hooked on pornography. I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 27. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. Now, what is that? That's something you get in that what? You just can't get out of. And some of you right now need help. You've kept your wicked sin covered up. And you're not going to get out of that ditch without help. And you stay in that ditch, and you'll end up being unfaithful to your wife. You'll end up, mister, you'll end up being exposed. God will expose you. He'll rip the cover off of your... Pornography is a sorry business for a Christian to support. If you support pornography, you support drugs, bondage, reprobation, and prostitution. That's what you support. Pornography users should be disciplined by the church. And that begins with Sports Illustrated swimsuit issues and everything else that goes with it. Preachers and Christians need to take a stand against pornography. Now listen to me. Everybody in our church doesn't smoke, but we take a stand against smoking. Everybody in our church doesn't drink, but we take a stand against what? Drinking. Everybody in our church doesn't gamble, but we take a stand against the lottery and gambling. Everybody in our church doesn't fool with pornography, but we need to take a stand on that too.
That's right.
By taking a stand and exposing pornography as fornication and sodomy, you may deliver some young man from destruction, and his marriage from ruin, and his children from being molested. If you're saved and you're fooling around with pornography, you must repent. You must turn from it. If you will, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Here's a proverb. For the commandment is a light, and a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs and destructions are a way of life to keep free from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman is a man brought to a piece of bread, and an adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And can a man take fire into his clothes and not be burned? Can one go upon his feet on hot coals and not be burned? A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat of the high places of the city, to call to the passers who go right her way. Whosoever is simple, let him turn in hither. For as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret places is pleasant, and he knoweth not that her dead that are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. You better get out of that pornography. You better come and put your life on this altar. Amen. You better do that and be delivered by God. To the unsaved, God will turn you over to a reprobate mind. To those of us who've been marred and scarred by pornography, I remember for maybe 10 years after I got saved, even while I was praying, that stuff would flash back into my mind. And I'd see it again, and at night, and I'll give you a verse that helped me, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, for the marred and the scarred, those of us, listen, when you've seen it, your mind takes a picture of it, and you'll never get it out of your brain apart from this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You need to just get on this altar and you just need to say, Lord, bathe my mind in your blood and wash all the pictures away. Cleanse my mind. Get every bit of that out of my brain. Oh, God, give me victory. To the innocent, flee fornication. Don't fool with it. Don't say, is that really a dirty book? Yeah, it really is. You really can tell those books by the cover. Keep your hands off of them. I believe I'm through. I believe I am. I believe I've said all that I had written down. I believe I've said enough. We need to get this out of our houses. We need to destroy what? Destroy their pictures. Isn't it funny? Have you ever noticed that, you know, I canceled National Geographic. They never have a fat woman in there without clothes on.
Come on.
Amen. It's not like it is.
I destroy their pictures. I don't want that in my house.
Amen.
I don't want my grandchildren to come and find some of Papaw's books and have some dirty pictures in my book. Something that would elicit a deviant interest. You got HBO? Fox, whatever they got, MTV,
yeah.
It's demon-possessed.
Amen.
It's beyond uncleanness.
Amen.
It's wicked.
Yeah.
It's corrupt.
Amen.
You'll defile your mind.
Amen.
You can't serve God and use that material.
Amen.
You'll end up, your pastor will come and tell you, the other night I brought a boy into my office. I said, you're no longer a member of this church, son. So I went to him and I asked him, what you going to do about it? Well, I'm not going to do nothing about it. You're no longer a member of my church, this church. You're out. I went out and told the church, this boy's no longer a member of this church. You can't have him over to eat. You can't call him on the phone. You can't.
Amen.
God bless you, preacher.
Amen.
Right, brother. Amen.
God bless you.
I won't have it. I won't have it.
Right.
They'll do just like that preacher did. They'll have that video in their home, and then they'll invite another young couple out of your church.
Yeah.
And if they don't respond to it, then another one, until they find a young couple that responds to it, and then they'll start swapping beds. Amen.
Yeah.
And they'll involve, amen. You'll find that you've got a rat's nest. You'll find that you have a horrible pit right there in your church if you allow pornography. You can't allow it. Flee fornication. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, Lord, there's people here tonight that need to be delivered, our Father, from these wicked sins, from their wicked television, from music, our Father, that depicts and sings and pounds home the message of illicit and ungodly, immoral sex. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give boldness, that some of these men of God, our Father, would come and pray, and others would come, our Father, and repent. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd give an invitation now, that men of God would come and kneel before this altar here and just commit themselves to take a stand against this wicked sin, that others might come, our Father, and repent, and others, our Father, might be delivered from this sin. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
113.